Hello and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
And I'm Melissa.
Crazy. Still crazy to me that our names are so similar after all this time.
Sometimes I almost said Alyssa just then. I don't know why.
We're morphing.
I know. It's crazy. Hopefully my voice isn't too scratchy. We just had our ConvertKit work retreat last week, and I think I came back with a little bit of a bug, which is interesting because sadly you weren't there, but you also got a little bug.
Yeah, it's weird.
So we really are connected.
I know. It is really strange.
Yeah.
I was saying in Slack, like a lot of people got sick.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I get sick and I didn't go to retreat? But it does seem like I'm doing better than most people. So, and I can't tell. I think your voice sounds fine.
Okay, good.
But I'm sorry that you're sick.
No, that's okay.
Thanks for being here with us.
Working through it. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah. Wait, is that Princess Diaries?
What
is
you that? Got it. Yep.
Yay. I'm so glad.
That was good.
It was the way you said it was so perfect and spot on. Like if it wasn't the perfect tone, I don't think I would have gotten it.
I was hoping you would get it because I would have been like, all right, moving on.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it was a thing because yeah. I was going to feel dumb if you were like, no, I just like saying that. Oh my gosh. I'm seeing Anne Hathaway everywhere right now and she's cracking me up. I don't know if you're seeing all these things.
I love her. Yes, I have. Yeah.
She's wild.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about her, but she's very entertaining.
She's entertaining. I wish we could have this podcast turn into celebrity gossip. So if anyone can't tell.
I was kind of just going to do it and just be like, you know, we're going to talk about DMARC today, but let's talk about
something that's not
pop culture.
Yeah. Something that's not as technical.
Yeah. Too bad. We are going to talk about really technical stuff today.
Yeah.
So we're going to get really into DMARC. Something interesting about this podcast or anytime Melissa and I do anything like a webinar or I send out a newsletter, I don't know if everyone realizes, is just the audience we're speaking to, everyone has such different needs and sort of like what they want to get from us. Some people want things to be very surface level in a good way of like, just tell me what I need to know, make it easy to understand. And we definitely try to do that. And then some people are like, I want the technical, get in the weeds. Because sometimes we'll be on a webinar and we're like, we're not going to get into the technical weeds. And then someone will write in the chat and be like, please do. I want to know.
Right.
So this episode is for those people. I know they're not always super technical. If you hate the thought of DNS records or anything like that, it makes your head spin. This is lovingly not going to be the episode for you probably. Thank you for tuning in, but you might hate this episode. So no hard feelings if you just want to turn this one off and join us again next week. But we are going to get pretty technical into the weeds of stuff that the average sender probably doesn't need to know necessarily, but a lot of people want to know and want to understand and have been asking us for this information.
Especially with a lot of the new requirements with Gmail and Yahoo, DMARC is more of like a front stage.
Yeah.
Topic now, but maybe we could do like a really quick, like if you said, explain DMARC to me, like I'm a kindergartner, for anyone who doesn't want to listen to the full episode, like if we were to just give like a high level, this is all you need to know, like from this episode, if you don't want to listen to the technical part, what if we did like a quick little,
I love it.
This is what you need to know.
Okay.
What is DMARC? I guess that's like a question a lot of people probably ask themselves, like initially, it sounds like a very intense word for whatever reason, especially in the email like industry. It's kind of like a scary word, I think, for a lot of people. When they hear DMARC, they're like, oh gosh, that's technical and I don't know anything about DNS records, like you were saying. So what is DMARC? DMARC is simply, at a very like basic level, a level of security for your emails. It helps authenticate your emails, protect you from your domain from being used by bad people, like at a very basic level. It's a protection mechanism.
I love it. I don't know if I can do better than that, but I can try. Well, just maybe some like very key little things you need to know about it is that, like you mentioned, Melissa, starting now, Gmail and Yahoo are saying it's required to have a DMARC record on your domain that you use to send mail. If you are a bulk sender, that's a very vague term. But essentially, if you're sending to an email list, let's go ahead and call you a bulk sender. So you need to have a DMARC record. But if you are that person that's like, I don't want to do anything other than what's required, like just tell me what I need to know, then you can have a very basic DMARC record just to meet this requirement. And that record will look like V equals DMARC 1, semicolon, P equals none, semicolon, like very basic. Mm-hmm. That is not the recommended DMARC record. And we're going to get into this episode of like how to actually roll out DMARC the right way, what the different policies are. Mm-hmm. But again, for the person who's like, I am not tech savvy, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just tell me what I need to know. That is like the basic of mm-hmm. the record that you need to have in order to make Gmail and Yahoo happy right now.
Perfect.
Cool. So I guess we'll get into the actual more technical stuff now and maybe explain DMARC on a more technical level. You might be wondering, what does DMARC stand for? I get that question more than I would think I do. And I'm like, okay, why does it matter? I don't know. Here it is. DMARC stands for Domain-Based Message Authentication Reporting and Conformance. Very fun. It's much easier to just say DMARC.
If you were to ask me, what does it stand for? Like if we were like talking about a totally different topic and you're like, quick, what does DMARC stand for? I would have to be like,
yeah,
hold on. Like it's definitely, I just don't even think about
right
what it means.
I think I would have most of it except the C, the conformance part.
The conformance, like, exactly.
That feels a little random.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, DMAR doesn't sound right. We got to throw something else in there. Let's just pick a word.
That was a really terrible like email geek moment of like.
I'm glad you thought that was funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, good. Wow. Well, those are the kind of things we laugh at because we're nerds. But anyways, so like Melissa mentioned, DMARC exists to keep your domain safe from spoofing. And in case you're not familiar with that word, spoofing is when someone sends a message using your domain without your authorization. One thing I think a lot of people don't realize is it's surprisingly easy for spammers to send messages from your domain if you don't have a strict DMARC record in place. Like extremely easy.
Yeah.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that the top reason that DMARC is so important.
Yeah.
And why Gmail and Yahoo want to make sure more and more people are getting it set up.
From my understanding, a lot of us who are probably a lot of you who are listening to this understand that there's like SPF and DKIM and these other parts of email that are supposed to help with authentication. And essentially DMARC is sort of this like third piece that actually like is able to do what SPF and DKIM are trying to do, which is to like authenticate the whole message, but also keep your own sending domain from being used by the wrong people. And so it's interesting to me that DMARC has been around for quite a while and it's never really been enforced in the way that it is now with Yahoo and Gmail. So for a lot of people, this is probably like a really new concept and like not anything we've ever had to do, but it has been around for a while. So if you've, in my job, like when I see people who are experiencing spoofing, there's usually some very like obvious ways we know that that's happening. And in the past, before any of these requirements were announced, like we would have people set up DMARC. So it's definitely not like a new thing. It's just we're, you know, seeing that Gmail and Yahoo are trying to get sort of this like collective buy-in for everyone so that they can make email safer and I'm sure on their end, much easier to catch the bad guys.
Yeah, that's such a good call out. I just Googled it because I wasn't sure. It says DMARC was introduced in 2012. So it has been a while. Mm-hmm. I think one reason why it wasn't more widely adopted is that, as we'll get into this episode, it's not easy to set up DMARC and actually be monitoring it the way you're supposed to be monitoring it and roll it out the way you're supposed to roll it out.
True.
It's a process. But I think Gmail and Yahoo got to the point where they were just like, you got to figure it out. We have too much spam happening.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous to not have DMARC. So they're kind of forcing everyone to just jump into the deep end, figure out how to do it. So hopefully this episode will help with that if you're feeling a little overwhelmed by it all.
I don't have like real data to go off of, but it feels like in my job, since I've been doing deliverability, that we saw an increase in spoofing in the last year or so.
Yeah.
That's just based on like what I've seen on my end of things. But I think that it's like, if you can at least set DMARC up, we'll go into this, but if you can set it up just at even a very basic level to start, like you at least know what to do if you run into a situation where you are being spoofed and like what you need to do next. So the goal, and I feel like in all of our episodes, is like give you the tools to feel confident to deal with certain situations that arise.
Yeah. And I feel like something we haven't really talked about. You might be wondering, why would somebody want to spoof my domain? Mm. If you are a good email sender, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, mm-hmm. you have an asset that's really valuable to spammers. You have a domain with a good reputation. Mm-hmm. That is something they probably don't have. They either have a domain with a bad reputation that they've been using for a while, and people like Gmail and Yahoo know that it's mm-hmm. a spammy domain and they're not going to accept mail from it. Or they spin up brand new domains,
exactly.
which have zero reputation, which is pretty much the same thing as having a bad reputation. And they're also having a hard time getting to the inbox. So these really desperate spammers who want to get, you know, phishing or spam messages out in front of people, they kind of are at a dead end. They're like, I need a good domain. Where am I going to find one? And I think in my early days of doing deliverability, it was only like the really big, well-known domains that I was seeing being spoofed who didn't have DMARC. Mm-hmm. And what maybe you're mentioning, Melissa, is like we started seeing more and more of, you know, lesser-known domains being spoofed. Creators with mm-hmm. 5,000 email subscribers, for example. It wasn't like
right.
these huge corporations or retailers. It was like...
Right, like Target or something, like exactly. having their email being spoofed. Yeah, definitely. I think we've seen like an increase in just like spammers becoming... Like maybe it's almost smarter on their end to target like the smaller good senders because they have a lot less resources usually available to them to figure out what's going on. It probably takes them longer and
yeah.
probably just an easier target in general.
Yeah. So that is something to keep in mind if you're wondering like, am I actually affected by this? Why would someone do this? They want that healthy domain that you have. And if it's not protected by DMARC, then you are a target for it. So I like something you mentioned about SPF and DKIM. So I'm going to get a little bit technical here. Mm-hmm. And I did mention this in a previous episode, but I think it's important, you know, especially for this podcast, so we're going to dive deep into DMARC. It's important to understand how DMARC relates to SPF and DKIM because those things are critical for DMARC to work. So SPF and DKIM are other means of authentication. They are older than DMARC. They've been around longer. And they are authenticating domains in the message that are in the background of the email. So as I mentioned in another episode, there are multiple domains being used in the sending of your email. There's that visible, friendly from domain that your subscribers are seeing. That's what humans are seeing with their eyeballs. The tricky thing is SPF and DKIM, they don't even look at that domain. Mm-hmm. They just ignore that domain. So SPF is looking at the return path address domain. You might not even know what the return path is. That's okay. But it's in the background of the message. And then DKIM is looking at the D equals domain that's in the DKIM record mm-hmm. in the header. And again, humans don't see that. So
right.
it's looking at these domains in the background and it's not looking at the visible from domain when it comes to SPF and DKIM. Mm-hmm. So DMARC came around to tie in what humans are seeing with what's happening in the background of the message so that a spammer can't say like, hey, I'm target.com in the visible from address. And then in the background say, I'm actually a spammer.com
right.
and pass SPF and DKIM just fine with that domain. So the way that DMARC works is that visible from domain that humans are seeing has to match either the return path domain and SPF passes, or that visible from domain has to match the DKIM D equals domain mm-hmm. and DKIM passes. For most people who have got all this set up, I would say that visible from domain is matching both the return path domain and the DKIM domain. And if you're a ConvertKit customer listening to this and your head is spinning, kind of this process I'm talking about here is actually setting up your verified sending domain. It's what you're doing. So mm-hmm. when ConvertKit tells you to set up a verified sending domain, we give you two CNAME records to add to your DNS. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're changing out the domain that we use for SPF and DKIM
right.
from ConvertKit's domain to be your domain. Mm-hmm. So now the visible domain that your subscribers are seeing is the same thing we're using to send your message in the background and pass SPF and DKIM authentication.
That was so well said.
You always tell me this and it helps because I, while I'm talking, I'm like, what am I saying?
No, I know. It starts to become very like, ooh, like when you're talking about it.
Yeah.
That's a question I've seen a lot lately. It's like somebody will reach out and say, can you all give me my SPF and DKIM records that I need to add? And I think there's a little confusion around what that means when you're a ConvertKit customer. So when you go in and you add your domain, which we have a really, if you haven't heard, we've been talking about it quite a bit. We have this amazing tool called Entry, and you can use that to help add the records to your DNS provider very easily with just a few clicks. But essentially, those CNAME records is what we call them. They're like the method of adding the DKIM and SPF record. So that's kind of a little confusing because it's like having a different name for the same thing that people are asking. So if you're confused, the DKIM and SPF records, we are giving those to you, but in the form of a CNAME record.
Yeah. Because we're still managing that stuff for you in the background.
Right.
It's a way for us to manage it, but your domain is what's being actually used in the header.
Exactly.
So you can still pass DMARC, but you don't have to worry about managing DKIM record rotation. Like that's even a layer of technical, we're not going to get into in this episode, but like managing fully DKIM, for example, is very involved. And so we're doing that for you, but the CNAME record is helping you use your domain. And we still do the management for you.
Right.
Good call out. I see that one too. And I'm like, oh, this is tricky, but.
It is tricky. It's just, it opens up Pandora's box. I think this whole Yahoo goal, this is what we're calling it, changes have opened up. And it's great. Like, I actually think it's great that people are curious and like want to know, okay, what's actually happening? Because in the past, it's been very much like happening on the back end like magic, which is great. And unfortunately, that's just no longer really like what's going on. So now people are having to take a lot more responsibility for a lot of deliverability related decisions. So yeah, I think it's great that there are a lot of questions. DMARC gets super complicated because there is so much nuance to it.
Yeah, so true. Speaking of complicated, you know, we talked about how the bare minimum requirement from Gmail and Yahoo right now is to have a DMARC record that exists on your domain. Mm-hmm. And every DMARC record has a policy, which, and there's a spot in the record that says P equals. And what comes after that is your policy. And we said that for just to meet the requirements right now, Gmail and Yahoo have said you can just set it to P equals none. Melissa, do you want to walk us through like what are the different P equals options and what does that mean?
Yeah, for sure. So the best way to think about this on like the most basic level is essentially you're like telling DMARC by choosing the policy you want how strict to be. So you're basically moving from, I'll just run through them really fast and then explain, P equals none, P equals quarantine, or P equals reject. Essentially, what this means is for anyone's domain who does not pass authentication, something is going to happen. There is an action that follows an email that's not passing authentication, or passing DMARC. When your email is sent and your domain has a DMARC record and DMARC passes, that's all good. That's how it's supposed to be. If it doesn't pass and you have a DMARC record set to the lowest level of P equals none, it's very straightforward. That's exactly what happens. Nothing. Nothing happens to the message itself. You can get into this too, but if you're signed up to receive DMARC reports, you'll probably receive a report that says, hey, someone used your domain in a message and it didn't pass, but we're letting you know, but nothing's happening to the message. It still got delivered. So that's what none means. P equals quarantine. If the message does not pass DMARC, the message will be sent to spam. So imagine like I have a domain that's very popular. I would really hate for a spammer to use that domain and have those emails land in the primary folder. So instead of them landing in the primary folder where most of my audience is going to see them, they're going to land in the spam folder. That increases the likelihood that people aren't going to get scammed. They're not going to click on bad links. They're not going to get phishing opportunities shown to them. So that's the goal is like, okay, let's just send it to spam. It's kind of like the medium range level of like action. So there's something happening there. But the final and like most intense level, if you will, is P equals reject. And this means that if the message does not pass DMARC, the message will be bounced. And so this, you can understand like, if you're not set up properly and your messages don't pass DMARC, but it's not for spoofing reasons, you could see a lot of bounces and there could be a lot of panic if you're not set up properly, which is why if you hear people in the industry often say like there is a almost like a ramp up plan for DMARC, that's why, because we want your messages to bounce if they're being misused by a spammer. We don't want them to bounce if it's a technicality like issue on your own end. which is why there's a lot of like fear, I think, around DMARC, because the result can feel very negatively impactful to your open rates, to your bounce rate. But it's a pretty easy fix normally to make sure that your emails are passing DMARC. So hopefully that was helpful.
Oh, it was perfect. Okay. It was amazing.
Awesome.
And yeah, I think this is a great feature of DMARC. Very smart that they give us these options, because like you mentioned, Melissa, like you and I will see every now and then, oh my goodness, this sender had 100% bounce rate. What's going on?
Right.
And they're, you know, a great sender. And we take a look and it's like, oh, they just added a DMARC record for the first time and set it straight to P equals reject.
Right.
But they didn't make sure their emails are passing DMARC first. So that's not what you want to do. There is sort of like a, you know, a proper way to set up DMARC and to roll it out. And that is to start at P equals none. And this is your like, get your ducks in a row time of DMARC.
Right.
So you can go ahead and set up DMARC even when you're not ready necessarily, set it to P equals none. And then the really cool thing about DMARC is that there is a reporting feature, which we will get into more. And you can use that to see like, okay, I've set up DMARC, it's at P equals none. So my emails are going to the inbox. What's failing DMARC? And you can look and be like, oh, this integration I set up with this tool that uses my Gmail API that I forgot about is like sending emails from my domain. And I want those to go to the inbox.
Right.
So you need to go to that tool and be like, okay, how do I set up SPF and DKIM with this tool so that those emails are passing DMARC? So it's sort of this process where you're going to learn, where am I sending mail that's good mail? I want this mail to go to the inbox. And how do I make sure that each of those places is properly set up so that DMARC is passing? So for example, if ConvertKit is one of those places, your next step is to set up that verified sending domain we talked about. Once you've done that, you're good to go with ConvertKit.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to do that for every platform you use to send email. This is especially like in a past life when I worked at another email provider, I worked with a ton of universities. And for people like that, DMARC is a mess because they have the College of Arts and Sciences are sending.
Say like role-based.
Yeah, it's a mess. And there's emails are being sent from a million different places.
Mm-hmm.
Every department uses their own email tool and oftentimes. And so, yeah, it's just like really chaotic. Hopefully for a lot of our listeners who are more like creators, entrepreneurs, they have a pretty simple setup. I think most people we work with have like a G Suite account, a ConvertKit account, maybe some sort of like a Teachable or, you know.
That's what I was going to say.
Course community.
Shopify maybe send something like, like if you have for, I don't know, but depending on what your setup is.
Right. But hopefully you don't have a ton of things that you need to check out. But that's sort of your P equals none time as, okay, I am going to make sure everything's passing before I move on to the next level of strictness. And so at ConvertKit, we've helped a ton of customers get set up on P equals none. But as the deliverability experts and nerds we are, we don't want people to stop at P equals none.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have determined that your good mail is passing DMARC, then the next step is to move on to that P equals quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great medium place to be because you're sending any potential spammers to the spam folder.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you did miss a tool somewhere and you have some legitimate emails that are failing DMARC.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to the spam folder so people can still find them if they need to. It's not like they're totally blocked. And if you're watching those DMARC reports, then you can be aware of it quickly, fix it, and then be all good to go. So it's also still like sort of this monitoring phase, but you're doing so with more confidence that you're set up.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that for a while and you're like, okay, all my good messages are for sure going to the inbox. I have DMARC passing on all of them. It's been a while. You can move to that P equals reject and your domain is going to be super protected from people trying to spoof you, which is awesome.
Yeah. We've talked about this in, I'm sure, a few different episodes, but something I like to do to show customers, like, because it feels like such a, because it's so technical, it's hard to visualize it. There's not like an easy way to be like, what does this actually look like? But we've talked about like pulling your message headers. So if you send an email from ConvertKit and you want to like just see it for yourself and make sure that like everything is passing, you can pull your message headers. There's like three little dots. If you're looking in Gmail specifically, three little dots on like the right-hand side, and you can click show original. And that will, you'll be able to see like SPF, DKIM, DMARC. And if everything is correct, everything will say pass. And you'll be able to see it. I think it's the best way to be able to like visualize what's actually happening in the message. You'll be able to see that like when you set up the VSD, your domain is signing DKIM. It's just a, it's a great way to say like, okay, I'm good. Like, I know I did all this stuff and I trust that it's working properly, but sending yourself that test message and pulling your message headers can be really like reassuring.
Yeah, I agree. We do it all the time for people.
Yeah.
I get customers being like, are you sure my DMARC's passing? And I'm like, let me show you.
Yeah.
I'll send an email right now, show you the headers. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can check that anytime. I love that call out.
Yeah.
So speaking of reporting, since I mentioned that was an important part of DMARC, I would say this is the most tricky part of DMARC almost, because it takes effort. Potentially it takes you using another tool. It's definitely not the easiest process to monitor DMARC reports. So I am glad they have this feature. DMARC allows you to receive reports about what's going on. So you can add an email address to your DMARC record. If you're wanting to know, like, how in the world do I need to configure this DMARC record? I really like Demartian's DMARC record wizard. So you can just Google that. It's at demartian.com. That's demartian.com/DMARC-record-wizard. So we can put that in the show notes too. That is a tool that will tell you exactly how to format your DMARC record, and you can add in the email address there where you want to receive these DMARC reports. But I will say, I don't recommend just like putting in your email address there. For one, that will be visible to anyone who looks up your DMARC record. So you might not want that. Two, these reports are not easy to just read with the human eye. Mm-hmm. They're very clumsy. So there are tons of tools out there that exist just to help you analyze your DMARC reports and read your DMARC reports. Some of these tools will give you an email address to put into the record, and then they'll populate a really beautiful dashboard for you that takes in all the reports, and then they put it in a nice to see graph of like, what's passing, what's failing. And you can easily see like, oh, great, all my messages are passing. Mm-hmm. Everything that's failing is a spammer. Or, oh, wow, I see something failing that I don't want to fail. I need to go fix that. So there are tons of tools out there. I personally don't have one that I recommend necessarily. You can Google DMARC reporting tools to find a bunch. Some off the top of my head are Easy DMARC. Like I mentioned, Demartian, they have their own. And I know our personal team at ConvertKit really likes using Cloudflare's tool.
It does look very nice.
Yes, I've seen it. We use it for our ConvertKit DMARC record. So if you're using Cloudflare to host your DNS, they have their own built-in tool that's super easy to use. So there are tons of options, but I would recommend using something to help you actually look at the results of these reports. Otherwise, it's so overwhelming and you'll get a ton of emails.
Yeah, that's happened to customers where they've unknowingly, they've realized after the fact, they've set it up with their main business domain where they get replies from their audience, or like they manage their business through that domain, and then it becomes extremely overwhelming. So that's a really good call out.
Yeah, it's better to just get a tool to do it for you. But I know that
a
lot of people don't want to have another tool. I think it's totally fine to do this during your like DMARC setup process. And then once you feel really confident about everything, maybe you're not monitoring this as often.
Right.
And I think that's okay. You'll probably notice if things start to go wrong with your emails.
And again, it's typically a relatively easy fix compared to a lot of other deliverability issues people can experience. So
such a good point. Well, I think we went there. We got in the weeds. Hopefully not too much, but yeah, that was it. That was DMARC.
I feel pretty good.
Me too.
My brain doesn't feel as fried as it has when we've talked about it in the past. So that's good.
Yeah, we finally got the hang of this, because I have talked about this before where I feel like my brain is melting, but this was much more engaging. I agree. So hopefully you all feel the same way listening to this.
Yeah, Google forced us to get better.
We need to come up with some like DMARC or Yahoo or something swag.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know. We've got to get some email mugs or something going, stickers, something.
I think we should make, now I think we should get mugs that have DMAR on them.
DMAR. something.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I don't know. But really, conformance, I mean, that felt random. It didn't feel necessary to throw in there.
Yeah.
Okay. We can keep thinking on it.
I'm going to be thinking about that all day. I don't know about the rest of you.
I'll be thinking about Anne Hathaway. If you haven't seen her telling people to calma, have you seen that?
No, I haven't. And maybe I said I like her and then you're like, oh, maybe I'm not seeing the same.
It's just hilarious. I'll send you a video. Okay. She like steps out of a black car in Italy or something. And there's a bunch of screaming people taking pictures. And she goes out to them and says, calma, calma. And I can't even do it the way she does it, but it's so funny to watch. I don't know why. It's just so funny. So I'm going to send you that.
Yes, please send it. I need to see it. I need to be in the loop.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you got your pop culture fix, your DMARC fix. We're just going to combine the two. I think that's a good idea.
Well, especially for these technical episodes, hopefully you can laugh at like something because yeah, otherwise.
Gosh, what else is funny to laugh about?
Yeah.
Did anything funny happen in retreat that you want to share with the audience?
I cry tears laughing whenever we play games. Like, it's just some of the people we work with are so hilarious. I just can't even, like, I wouldn't be able to recreate the scene to save my life. But, like, people, it's funny when you see the other sides of people, like, you're so used to working with online and everyone's relatively serious, you know, and doing their job, heads down. And then when you just get people in a different environment where you can, like, laugh and play games, it's just so funny. Like I love to laugh. Like that's my like love language is like laughing.
Yeah.
And so when I'm around people who are like in that headspace too, it's so funny.
I love it. I know. I have very vivid memories of us playing a game at a retreat a year ago now, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know the game we're talking about. And it got so funny that one of our coworkers, I won't name her name, completely spit out her drink all over all of us.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Okay,
yeah. So it does get
fun. We brought it up again at this retreat. Good. So yeah.
It, we can't let her forget.
When you see people laughing that hard, it's contagious and it just like makes it worth like all the travel and like the work talk and, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hilarious. But the game continues on. Just hilarious times. So.
Sad to miss it.
We missed you.
Thanks. But thanks for filling me in the whole time. That was very helpful.
Of course. Of course.
All righty. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this very technical episode, but hopefully very educational.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking about how to keep deliverability high and healthy while using some sort of recommendation feature like the Creator Network, or there are several others out there, Sparkloops, Upscribe. How can you use those tools to grow your list without hurting your deliverability?
Exciting. That'll be a good one.
Yeah. Okay. See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.